And I would invite you, as you can, to turn with me to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, Jeremiah 31. And I want to read from the 31st through the 34th verse. In the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah, with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant which I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make in the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. The newness of life. Some of you, I believe, know that I have been fulfilling my other passion these days, and that substitute teaching on Mondays and on Fridays. I have found it to be a great joy and a time of great renewal. A part of teaching, and I think you might remember from your school days just how kids and we treated substitutes. But actually, I've done pretty well with the teaching part. The hardest part, really, of the day is the first part, when I have to take the roll and count those who are in attendance. I want you to know that we're just not naming our children Frank and John and Sarah and Sally anymore, but all kinds of names. And believe me, when I mispronounce the name, I am corrected. I've discovered over these past few weeks how it is important for the kids, because for so many, their name says something about who they are. The name says something about their history. I wanted to ask you this morning, if God were to call your name right now, and not as we usually think of this, to call us home in times of our passing, call us to heaven, but if God were to call your name right now and to ask each of us, how are you living? How are you living? How would we respond? There is something about the study of the Old Testament that you just can't escape the reality that God keeps calling us by our name. God keeps calling the names of the people. This is through the wilderness. This is through their rejection of God. God keeps on calling their name. It was the role of the prophet, by definition, it was the role of the prophet to urge God's people to turn from their sins and to turn back to God. Jeremiah, particularly, had this role of saying to the people, there is hope. There is hope on the other side of what you are experiencing. I also want to clarify that it was not saying that the people would not go through all that they were facing. And this is something that can be difficult for us to hear and difficult for us to accept. That yes, God is a just God. God is a just God. And so there will be a time of accountability for the way in which the people had acted. A time of accountability for the way in which the people had acted and for their disobedience. Some of the people were even blaming their parents. That verse, the parents ate sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. Jeremiah has the responsibility of saying, you are suffering. Suffering from some of the things that your parents did. But they were also paying for the consequences for which they had done. The way in which they had acted. After the law had been written on tablets of stone, the way in which they had acted in response to having the law written on tablets of stone. But they had rejected God. And so Jeremiah's message is, truly, truly, truly that on the other side, all of which they were experiencing. On the other side, for all of which they were experiencing, there would be a new covenant. This week, the one surviving miner in that terrible tragedy in Virginia a few months ago now, the one surviving miner went home. And I was watching on the news as he was getting in his car with his wife, and one of the doctors was doing the commentary, and the doctor said, we as doctors don't like to talk about miracles. But truly, this is a miracle. I would invite us to think about this new covenant as a miracle. God will save God's people. God will save God's people. And the message then comes to us, afresh and anew, that the gift of salvation is that Jesus Christ is available to all. The gift of salvation is that Jesus Christ is available to all. And now we can know Christ. We can know Christ in a personal way. For yes, there was a time when the law was written upon tablets of stone. But with the gift and with the coming of Christ, the law is written upon our hearts. Our relationship with God will be a personal relationship. Hear those words, I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And then take the new covenant one step further, and that is, it will be an exclusive, I'm sorry, not exclusive, Aaron. It will be an inclusive relationship for all people. All people are the people of God. I wanted to make sure I clarified that. An inclusive relationship. Because when you see so much around us today that would separate us, and I think we ought to just pay close attention to this, of how much we see, how much we read every day will separate us. I'm thinking about this whole discussion around immigration. How much it will separate us. I'm thinking about the whole issues and tension still around race and our culture. So much would separate us. In these coming months, as we talk about what will be on our ballot, what it is we will be voting on, that we can talk about even more. But what concerns me right now is how we're going to be separated between persons, gay and lesbian, and persons who are not. We need to hear. We need to hear this word, that through the gift of Jesus Christ, we are a new people. We need to hear that through this gift of Jesus Christ, we not only know about God, we not only know about God, but we can know God for ourselves. As we are approaching this Holy Week, remember in devotion, remember in prayer, remember as we are together this morning, the cross stands for forgiveness. The cross stands for a newness of life. The cross stands in the midst of the sanctuary, and therefore it calls us to the altar for time of communion. I began talking about names. How would we respond if God were to call our name? When I think about this newness of life, when I think about the new covenant and the gift of Jesus Christ, when God calls our name, we can respond in the words of that old African-American spiritual. When He calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Amen.